Good morning. Let's stand and rise to our feet and sing. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord above. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, hoping to the Son above. With the light of day. You are the one, let's sing it out. You are the one who saves. You are the one who saves. You are the one whose hand lifts us from the grave. You are the light of life, the everlasting day. You are the one who takes. Blessing ever bless, fountain of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. You are the one, you are the one who saves, you are the one who saves, you are the one whose hand lifts us from the grave. You are the light of life, everlasting day. You are the one who takes all our sins away. Jesus, you are my rescue. Jesus, you are my rescue. I give you everything I am. Jesus, you are my rescue. Jesus, you are my rescue. I give you everything I am. Let's sing that again. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are my rescue. Jesus, you are my rescue. I give you everything I am. Jesus, you are my rescue. Of the joy of living, ocean depth of happiness. You are the one. You are the one who saves. You are the one who saves. You are the one who stands, lifts us from the grave. You are the light of life, the everlasting day. You are the higher than any other. I got his healer, Awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness we shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if a God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if a God is with us, then what can stand against? And if a God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if a God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Let's sing a chorus again. Oh, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is stronger, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, is awesome in power. And if a God is with us, then what can stand against? And if a God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if a God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand
Oh, good morning. Please have a seat. My name is Andrew, if we haven't met yet. And we get to worship with such enthusiasm that chords fly everywhere. It's going to be a good day here at church. And you made it. You made it. You made it. You made it. I'm so glad you made it. And so for those who are joining us online, and I saw folks from Ellensburg and other far away exotic lands joining us in worship. It's good that we can stay in contact even when, for various reasons, we are at a distance. So I want to invite Heather Olson to come up because we got some cool stuff happening in Children's Church. One of the coolest, of course, being that we have a nursery now. So yay for that. Also want to draw your attention to the connection cards that are in the seat backs in front of you. That's a great way to give us feedback on ways that we can be praying for you. If you've got a favorite song, you're like, God has just used this song to touch my life, let us know. For those, many of you are just involved in the giving life of the church. Well, you can take those connection cards, the offering envelopes, all that stuff. There's baskets around the room. And just thanks for being a super, super generous church that allows us to do things like really cool children's ministry.
Yes!
Yes. So Heather, what's happening? What is happening? What's going on?
So we are on a different adventure this month. We are learning about legacy. And that is, we're studying about the Holy Spirit And I think you guys know something about that.
We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit in this kids' church, too.
I know. The big kids' church.
Big kids' church, little kids' church.
Yeah. Nursery, we're all doing the same thing.
Holy Spirit.
It's weird. It's like we're on one accord.
So weird.
I know.
And that's not even... my first car was an accord, by the way. It was a 1980 Honda. Yeah, it was a rust bucket, actually.
Not a Volkswagen Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you could not get all of this in there. I promise you that.
Yeah, it wasn't very fast.
That's why the Holy Spirit's accord is way better.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'm just messing around. Would you pray for our kids?
Yes, and, of course. All right. Of course. Father God, we just thank you so much that you have given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help guide us, help encourage us, build us up, teach us. And more importantly, what we're going to be studying today is how the Holy Spirit helps us to love others. And we just thank you for your love and your grace and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks, Heather, and to your team. They're having a great time back there. But this is the time in our worship service where we greet one another. If there's some social media greetings from folks joining us from exotic lands like Ellensburg, you can do that. But even more importantly in the room is just let somebody know you're glad to see them. Give them a fist bump, shake their hand, get to know a name, do something like that. And we're going to jump back into singing in about a minute, something like that. So don't go too far, but have fun. Now, as you're finding your seat again, and I know this will take a moment. Today in the church calendar is a day that's called Trinity Sunday. And it's no mistake that it immediately follows Pentecost. It reminds us that God is not just God the Father and God the Son, but it's also God the Holy Spirit. That God Himself is a relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He invites us into relationship with Him. Now, the next song we're going to sing, I taught it to you two or three weeks ago, something like this. The chorus just goes, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. But invite us to stand and let's enter into it. It just tells the story of God's work in the world. And I just invite you to let it be a catalyst for just stilling your heart before God and saying, God, I just praise you for your work in the world, and I praise you for your work in me.
From heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. Thank you. creation. You did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise, oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Heaven held its breath till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit
Please have a seat. And we're going to invite Ailette Ness to come up and lead us in the time of prayer. That's one right over there. Right over there.
Good morning, church and family members. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, it is so good to be in your house today. We pray that you touch each heart, fill each person with your Holy Spirit. Be alive in us today, O Lord. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, then sings my soul how great thou art. Your love and your mercy know no boundaries. I pray for a special blessing on this church, this congregation, and especially our pastors, Andrew and Paul. We are so blessed to have them here at Columbia Grove. Lord, I pray for safety for our missionaries who are spreading your gospel throughout hostile countries, and for the Christian radio station in the Ukraine. I pray a legion of angels to surround them and to keep them all safe. Heavenly Father, the world is in a state of chaos, as you are well aware. In your mercy, guide the leaders of the world, including our own local, state, and national leaders. I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I lift up to you the people of Ukraine, both those who have fled their homeland and those who have stayed behind. Protect the innocents, Lord. Turn back the red wave of the invaders. Fill the people with hope and strength. Bless the people of Poland as they open their country and homes to the immigrants of Ukraine. Bless and keep first responders and teachers safe as they're trying to keep our schools safe from the violence. O great healer of hearts and bodies, please continue to be with the people who have lost loved ones in Uvalde, Texas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. Stop the madness, O Lord. I continue to pray for little Harper, that you will touch her little body and heal it completely. I also lift up to you John Waldron's 93-year-old mother as she recovers from a broken leg. Also comfort for John as he grieves the loss of his best friend Barry. Holy healer, touch Lee's son Levi as he recovers from shingles. And a special prayer of peace for Elena Vargas. I lift up to you Pastor Andrew as he undergoes oral surgery tomorrow. Please, Lord, grant him quick healing. Heavenly Father, you who planted all the trees and flowers in this world, I lift up our orchardists and farmers to you as they try to recover from the late spring snows and then the thunderstorm that rolled through the valley. Be with them, Lord, as they try to recover their crops. Loving Father, hearts are heavy with loneliness, struggling marriages, those struggling with addiction and looking for work. Surround those people with your love and mercy. We all have people in our lives that we've been praying for. So at this time, let us lift up our hearts and voices, either silently or out loud, to pray for our concerns. Son-in-law Terry. Columbia Grove is so blessed with both pastors Andrew and Paul. I pray that you will continue to guide them. Now, Lord, be in Andrew's words as he preaches the good news today. I pray all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the congregation responds, Amen.
Hey, Let, thanks so much. He's become quite a dear friend. We do seniors ministry together many weeks, she's a good song leader and picking up the ukulele and just love her heart. She's amazing. So yeah, just love on her a bunch. It happens to me almost every day, and almost every day I feel bad about it. Now, our family lives on Cherry Street, and that means that when we're driving from East Wenatchee, or coming from East Wenatchee, which I make the journey from East Wenatchee to Wenatchee pretty much every day, or if not multiple times a day, means I come usually off of the South Bridge, and I take that exit, and then there's that chef's store, and you take the left, and I go up, and there's the 76 station, and the Chevron on the other side. And almost every day at the 76 station, there's somebody holding a sign, please help. Something. And I'd like to tell you that most times I stop, but I have stopped sometimes. And sometimes I'll help to find some food and try to learn names and hear a story. But if I'm being honest, and I hope I can be honest here, and I hope you can be too, a lot of the time, I just drive right on by. And every time I feel a little bit bad about it, or a lot bad about it. But what's going on inside of me, and maybe you can relate to this, and this is why it's so important that we hear this passage that we're going to look at today, is in my heart somewhere, I feel something like, I wish I could help. I wish I could do more, but I just, and then I fill in the blank with something. I just don't have the time today. Sometimes, at least that feels true. I'm often late for wherever, or don't want to be late for wherever I'm about to go. Or I don't know that all the money in the world would solve that problem. Or at least not all the money in my wallet right now is not going to solve the problem. Or would that just make it worse? I feel inadequate. Big problems, people who are hurting, stories that sometimes we don't always know all that's going on in a story. But can you relate? You want to help, but it's like, it just feels like there's so much. There's so much need out there, and I just don't have enough. I'm not enough. I saw a few hands go up. You get that same sense? And that's the reason why we need passages like the one we're going to look at today. So if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, or you download YouVersion, just jump on our guest network and download YouVersion, then you can have an actual useful app on your phone. YouVersion is an online Bible. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, and we're going to do a deep dive into Acts, the first 10 verses, and then a really deep dive into verses 4 through 6. And in this, we're going to see a few things that I think we're just going to find as helpful tips. So I'll kind of list this: three helpful tips, and then one principle in there that if we hear it, is absolutely game-changing, life-changing, not only for you, but for the people around you, if we really, really hear it. So, got your Bibles? Ready to go? Ready to grow? Yeah? Because we love the Word of God. We love the Word of God. The Spirit of God, who is here in our midst, that we talk about, that we sing about, so often speaks through God's Word. It's the number one way that God speaks. So we want to hear what God's Word has to say. So I'm just going to read verses 1 through 10, like, so we get a sense of the whole story. And then we're going to dive deep into three verses that have these really powerful ideas. Okay, so Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw that Peter and John were about to enter, he asked them for money. Does this sound familiar? Now Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When the people saw him walking and when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's quite the story, huh? Wow. So let's do a deep dive. There's some principles in there. A few, like I said, kind of three practical principles, and one that is, well, it's not just practical, it's huge. And maybe you haven't thought about this big idea yet. So here, starting with verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Peter looked straight at him. Peter and John, they saw him. Now, when I have had conversations with people who have lived with chronic homelessness, one of the things that I've heard many times, I just want to pass this on to you. They say that one of the things that is most difficult about being homeless is that everybody sees you and yet you are invisible. That here's somebody who's oftentimes well aware that they look out of place, that what they're doing is kind of socially awkward, and the majority of people around them just walk right past them and don't make eye contact. Drive right past them and don't make eye contact. Now, I recognize there are situations where making eye contact and acknowledging somebody may not always be safe. There could be times where maybe you are honestly concerned whether somebody is, you know, mentally well enough to have interactions. I also recognize that I'm saying this as a middle-aged white male, and that there's women, you may have different experiences, especially in isolated settings. I am not asking anybody to do something that is dangerous. But we see a principle here in Scripture that is actually quite significant. There are people around us with needs. And one of the acts of love, one of the ways that we can love like Jesus to the world around us is simply to see them, to make eye contact, to acknowledge them. So just for fun, let's play around with this a little bit. Find somebody else, lock eyes with somebody else in the room. I'm gonna pick somebody in the back. Now, do this with me. You got that? Hey, Trav. Owen. Caleb. Yeah. Hey, Barb. It's good to see you, by the way. Okay, you practice with somebody. Practice with somebody. Okay, and after you've done it to one person, just once for fun, let's do it the wrong way. Because there are ways you can do this that are all flirty and weird. Don't do that. I am not telling you to do that. But just simply to acknowledge. Acknowledge. Peter looked at him. That in itself was an act of love. And that's something that we can do, maybe not in every situation, but in many situations. That is a way, even when you cannot stop, even when you don't have anything to give, or you know that the giving money in this moment would not honestly help, you can see. As a side note, if you do choose to engage in conversation, I love to make certain that folks know where some of the local services are. Do you know where Lighthouse is? Do you know where Powerhouse is? If you're at Ferry Street, you're just a few blocks away. Also, this is just me, I could be completely wrong about this. Often, if they know where it is and the next response is those blankety, blankety, blankety blanks over at Lighthouse or Powerhouse, that tells me something about the individual as well. And that they're probably pretty resistant to help. And so my response to them is going to be different than somebody that says, oh, thank you. Anyways, one of the first acts that we can do of love, in ways that are safe, just see. Second thing, this is practical, and the, you nerd folks, and also you organizational folks are going to love this one. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Silver or gold, I do not have. I actually find that really interesting. Really interesting. Because I think Peter was telling the truth. He actually didn't have any money on him. And yet, this is interesting. Okay, so remember last week we looked at Acts chapter 2, or if you've got your Bibles open, you like flip back one page, Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit is moving in the church, and there's this outpouring of generosity, and people are selling their stuff, they're doing yard sales, they're doing everything they need to do so that no one is in need. And so they're giving enormously generously. And Peter, at this moment, he's kind of the spokesperson, he's kind of the top preacher of the pack. Peter has enormous say in what's going on in the church. Peter, if there's anybody, any of the apostolic leaders that would have access to church money, it would be Peter. And yet Peter doesn't have any. Wow. Now, I might be reading into this a little bit. I won't spend too much time on this. But even here in this early, early time in the early church, as the Spirit is being poured on, out on the church, we're seeing some checks and balances within the church. That sometimes those who have the greatest degrees of maybe relational authority, people like Peter, people who have those teaching ministries, that even in the early church, it seems they recognized that that doesn't mean that they need to have all the finances of the church. That other people, in fact, it's wise to have other people entrusted with handling the finances of the church. And you think about it, when you've seen organizations, whether that's a business or a nonprofit, or often, far too often, we see this in churches, when a church collapses or implodes on itself, it has to do with money and who has access to the money. And it seems that here, as the Spirit is flowing in the early church and God is using these leaders, it seems even before they've figured out how to write a constitution or any of that other kind of organizational stuff, they know there's going to be some checks and balances. And so Peter, he's not packing money. Isn't that it? I find that interesting. Maybe the rest of you don't. I find that fascinating. Silver or gold, I do not have, and let's keep going with that phrase. But what I do have, I give you. Say that with me. What I do have, I give you. God calls us to give what we have and not what we don't have. And maybe that will also free us up a little bit. Free us up from false guilt. God calls us to give of what we have, but not necessarily of what we don't have. So you may not have 10 hours a week to volunteer in a ministry, but you may have 10 minutes that you could spend praying for somebody, or 10 minutes that you could spend encouraging someone to write someone a note, 10 minutes that you could be doing something. We're called to give what we have and not what we don't have. You may not have $1,000 that you can drop on a need that catches your heart, because maybe you probably, if you're like me, you got all sorts of other financial responsibilities and those things matter, but you probably have something. You probably have $10 or five or one. God doesn't call us to give what we don't have. He calls us to give what we do. In fact, he gives us, he entrusts us with everything that we need to accomplish his will for us. He always gives us enough. He doesn't ask you to do something he hasn't equipped you for. But what he's given you, in his hands, may be capable of doing so much more than you could ever imagine. And that's where we get to the next part of this phrase. Okay. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Say that with me. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. In the name. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. That we, if you have Christ in your life, you're a follower of Jesus, you have asked Jesus into your heart, then you and I, we have spiritual authority to carry the name of Jesus. Now, we do need to talk about that. Now, because John 14:14, Jesus says, anything, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. And like, wow, that seems really wow. So let's talk about what that means. Now, one of the ways that we do apply it is you kind of hear that in our prayer language from time to time, don't you? Almost any prayer you hear in a church, we pray at the very end, we go, in Jesus' name, amen, right? Or if you're from more liturgical backgrounds, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, or like you got to remember the choreography, the whole thing, you know, like and the. Because of this phrase, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, it's certainly okay to, you know, pepper that in your prayer life. It's okay to have that be part of, you know, even to do this stuff, you know, it helps our bodies to remember who we belong to. But it's not so much about like a magic phrase as it is, it's a principle that God has given us authority to ask Him to help us with things that we already know are His will, that are in alignment with His will. It's a little bit like, so I've got a brother-in-law who is a firefighter. His name is Eric. Actually, I've got a birth brother, Eric, and I've got a brother-in-law, Eric. It gets a little complicated, but he's a firefighter, and he used to tell me that one of the things he loved most about his job is that if there's a fire, a house fire, he gets to show up, he gets to kick down doors, he gets to spray everything, make big holes in walls, and then he makes this massive amount of damage, and everybody goes, "Thank you, oh, thank you for doing that." It's like, yeah. Now, if Eric showed up at your house and started hosing everything down and kicking down doors, and you'd be like, "Get out of here, you know, what are you doing?" But when there's a fire and he shows up in the name of the fire department, he has authority to do some things that he otherwise couldn't do. Or the first responders, "Oh, I hope you're praying for our first responders. I think of our men and women in uniform. I think of our police officers. Tough, tough job." You know, if a police officer, you know, pulls somebody over for speeding, it's stop in the name of the law. It's not in the name of, let's say the police officer is Miguel. It's not stop in the name of Miguel. No one's going to stop in the name of Miguel. But you stop in the name of the law. When an action is in alignment with the demands of law and justice, a first responder is empowered to act in ways that are in alignment with the laws of justice. In a similar way, as those of us who bear the Spirit of Christ in our life, when we are in a situation where we know that this is in alignment with the general will of God. Like there's a phrase on our wall over there. God wants lost people found and hurting people helped. That's a good generalization. If you have a loved one that is distant from Jesus, you are authorized in the name of Jesus to pray for God's intervention in their life. When you come across a situation where someone is hurting or suffering, now, that doesn't mean that you know exactly how God is supposed to answer that prayer of hurting or suffering, but you and I, we are authorized to pray in Jesus' name that God would intervene in this place of hurt. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. You carry the name. I carry the name. We carry the name. We are challenged. We are encouraged to pray in the name of Jesus. We are, you could say, deputized to carry Jesus's name. That's not your will be done. That's not God, please bless the things that I want. This isn't name it or claim it. This is God. This is something that seems like it's in alignment with your will, that advances your kingdom, that brings you glory, that helps people see you more clearly, that helps to relieve suffering in the world in ways that I know you want to have happen. And so we pray. We pray boldly. We are deputized. We are deputized to carry Jesus' name. So I want to challenge you to do something here. Now, as you came in today, you might have received one. See one of these? Did you get one of these little tiny pocket crosses? And if for some reason you didn't, you came in late, whatever, you just put your hand up and look at this. These amazing ushers, Pastor Paul, that whole deal. You will get yourself. I went to church. They didn't give me anything. We can give you. Didn't get anything out of that sermon. No, I got one thing. You got a pocket cross. Okay. Because here's what I want to challenge you to do this week. I want to challenge you to do. You never guess where I want to challenge you to put your pocket cross. In your pocket. I want you to put the cross in your pocket. So that every time you reach into your pocket to, in my case, I'm reaching for some chapstick, you know. Oh, there, what's that? It's a cross. You reach in your pocket for your keys. You reach in your pocket for your wallet. You reach in your pocket for your cell phone. Oh, that's right. What's that? Oh, it's a cross. A little reminder that wherever you go and wherever I go, we carry the Spirit of Jesus with us. Now, there's nothing magical about this pocket cross. This is just a representative of something that is so much more important. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside you, lives inside me, lives inside us. And God wants to do things in the world around you. He wants you to pray for people in Jesus' name. Now, whether you use that specific phrase or not, it's the principle, this idea that we carry the authority of God into the world around us. It's like you look at the world around you, you go, oh, things are so messed up. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to get deployed to start making a difference in all this mess. And God says, yes. And so go in my name. Go and pray. Amazing things happen when we pray. And maybe you can relate to some of these kinds of stories. Maybe you've been in some of these places. I've been in hospital rooms. Prayed over people. And I've seen miraculous healing happen. Where somebody's recovery far exceeds medical timelines. And realistic, quote unquote, expectations. Because people prayed. So go and pray in Jesus' name for somebody. Or one of the disciplines I've started to get myself into over the last few years is keeping a prayer journal. Like every day, you know, what are some things I'm grateful for? What are things, God, that I'm asking you to do? It's right back there. I already know. See there? It's right there. All right. There it is. Okay. Yeah. So, but one of the advantages of keeping a prayer journal is it's not just in the big stuff, you know, like your sick friend. Though, pray for your sick friend. It's also in the small things. That job opening, the check arriving in time. The whatever it is. Pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, I want to pray in alignment with your will. I want to pray for the things that I, as far as I know, that these are the things that you want to see happen in the world. God, I am asking you to intervene in my world. God, I'm asking you. Use me. to be part of that. I'm going to give the little part I have, the little part that on my own, I know it doesn't make that much of a difference. But as I'm faithful with the little part that I have to give, God, I know that you can do so much above and beyond that, more than I could ever ask or imagine. And so we pray. Are there people you are praying for? Are there situations you are praying for? Pray. Pray. And be willing to be prayed for too. Now, I don't know. On a Sunday morning, we actually have a prayer team. They're often over there in some of these chairs in the back. If you're with our prayer team today, would you position yourself in one of those prayer stations? Actually, we have a number of folks. They're standing up because they're like, this is awkward. I don't know what to do. They're about to pray. And they're about to be available to pray for you. Yeah, you can. There we go. Sometimes the breakthrough in prayer that you are looking for, it happens when you allow a brother or sister to pray for you. And so I'm going to lead us in a little, you know, the kind of closing the sermon sort of prayer. And then Ian's going to lead us in a song that's a praise song. And even during that song, I just invite you, if you want somebody to pray for you, or you've got somebody that's on your heart, that you're like, God, I just need a breakthrough. I need to see a miracle happen in their life. I've got a loved one who is lost, and I need, God, you to open their eyes. I've got someone who is hurting, and I need you to help in that situation. Allow somebody to pray for you. So, pray, pray, pray. In Jesus' name. It is more powerful than you could ever imagine. And I hope that you will continue to dream with me about the local church, because Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. It is the most important thing that we do. And in the end, it ends up being enormously practical too, because we take our part and we are faithful with our part, and we trust God to do what only God can do. He adds to that work. So pray. So pray. So pray. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for these reminders. We need to hear them. Because so often we feel, and I know that I feel, like I don't have very much to give. And it allows me to disengage from the needs around me. To shy away. And you're calling me to step forward. Lord, would you open my eyes, would you open our eyes to the situations in the world around us where you call us to take that next step, to see someone, to hear their story, to give appropriately, and most of all, to pray in Jesus' name for them. Thank you that your name has more power than any political force on earth, than any military force on earth. Your name has more powerful than is more powerful than a nuclear reactor. Your name, your power changes everything. That one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess, because of the power of your name. Lord, help us to carry your name boldly, wisely, well, lovingly. And Lord, thank you that you entrust us with that work. So Lord, may I truly be a person of prayer. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to join together in a song. And this song is not only a great worship song where we just engage with God. It's also an opportunity, as you're standing up, and I would invite you to stand up. It's an opportunity to maybe allow somebody to pray for you. Perhaps it's on behalf of somebody else, for that need in your life, whatever it is. Or even as you're singing, maybe God's calling you to just pray for somebody else. Just right there in the seat. You're just, God, you're a way maker, you're a miracle worker, you're a promise keeper, and Lord, I'm lifting this name up to you. All right.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it.
Please have a seat for a moment. I invite you to take out your communion packets. You probably received them as you came in. And if for some reason you didn't, we have an usher for that. So put your hand up, we'll make sure you get one. Here, even in these very simple elements, we see a powerful reminder of Christ's love for us. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We remind our bodies, even our taste buds, of the love of God. So here's what I'd like to invite us to do. As you take out the little piece of bread, you take the the little thing dingy off there so you can access the juice. But before you eat the bread and drink the juice, I'd like you to make eye contact with somebody. And as you're speaking these words to one another as you eat. So as one person eats the bread, the other person would say to them, "This is Christ's body given for you." As one person drinks the juice, the other person would say to them, "This is Christ's blood shed for you." So Lord, as we remember what you did for us, as you gave your body and shed your blood, Lord, help us to minister to one another well. Help us to remember your sacrifice well. Thank you for this incredible gift of forgiveness. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So serve one another. Look somebody in the eye. Speak the words as they eat the elements.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing it one more time.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Invite us to pray out loud the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples that we often call the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, I see some people grabbing hands. That's appropriate. That's good. That's good. Helps us to remember that we are praying this prayer together as a church family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So you can have a seat just for a moment. Pastor Paul.
He's bringing the good stuff. Bringing the good stuff. I got two announcements. We'll start with the farthest one out first. 4th of July. You believe that? We're talking about the 4th of July already. If you don't know, our parking lot is a phenomenal place to watch the fireworks at Walla Walla Park. A lot of people in our community are finding that out as well. So last year, for the first time, we handed out root beer floats, we had games, we had a whole bunch of things here in the worship center and outside. That went so well that we're going to do it again this year. So we also need some help. Walt Ness is in charge of that. If you don't know who Walt is, his wife was just up here about 30 minutes ago doing the congregational prayer. You can talk to either one of them. But he can use a few more volunteers. If you're able to scoop ice cream into a cup, pour some root beer in it, maybe patrol the grounds, make sure people aren't lighting off their own fireworks, things like that, talk to Walt. He'd love to have some help. The other event, 2 weeks from today, is our Serve Sunday. It'll be a short worship service here. Then we're going to go out into the community, 3 different locations. Serve our fellow man here in the valley. On that Sunday, wear some grubby clothes, some older clothes. We're going to be pulling some weeds, bring a weed eater, some gloves, shovel, rake, things like that, so we can serve out in the community and show what our hillside says. We're going to show how to love like Jesus in our own community. So if you can do those 2 things, that'd be fantastic. Let's close our service in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is that we can pray. And we can pray and talk to you one-on-one as our Father. What a joy it is to serve in our community, at home, in our work, in retirement, or here at church. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to serve. Lord, as we close our service today, we give praise for eternal life with you and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that resides in each of us. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, as our hillside says, love like Jesus. Have an incredible week. If you're watching online or here in the building, thanks for being here. God's blessings this week. See you next week, 10 o'clock. Have a blessed week, everybody. Depart in peace.